Three, two, one. The mic's going. It's another episode of Sacktown Talks with the Fontaine Classic. Philip Norton's going to introduce the rest of the band for us.
All right, yeah. My name is Philip. I play bass. I've been in the band for about a year. We are the Fontaine Classic. And we got Tyler right here on guitar and vocals. We have Noah here on saxophone and vocals, and Frank over here on the drums and vocals as well.
Cool.
Very cool. Noah, you're the only wind instrument.
That's right. I play some saxophone, so I've played other wind instruments in the past and some recordings.
Would you ever want to play with other wind instruments?
Yeah. I'm open.
Can I ask you something?
Oh yeah.
So you're clearly proficient on this. You're clearly good on the sax, right? Does that mean you can pick up the clarinet and just go with it? Does it work like that?
Kind of. Not exactly. It's a different animal.
Okay.
A whole different beast, but it kind of does. So.
How about this? I'm pretty good at wrestling and jiu-jitsu because I've just been doing it for so long. So I've not spent a lot of time doing judo proper, but I'm pretty sure that I'd be able to just go and be pretty good at judo pretty quickly. Is it kind of like that? Translatable, but not exactly the same?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have a similar concept on all kind of instruments, all wind instruments. So
okay.
Brass and woodwinds are a little different. So all the woodwinds kind of follow the same line.
Okay. And Philip, you're a bass guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
How easy is it for you to pick up a regular guitar? Is it translatable or not?
It's definitely translatable.
Yeah.
For me personally, I've played guitar and bass just as long as each other. So I picked up guitar when I started playing bass too.
Okay.
But yeah, I think bass is easier to pick up initially.
Okay.
But I think I've heard a saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bass is easy to pick up, but hard to really master. And
okay.
Vice versa for guitar. Mm-hmm. Guitar is hard to get going and learning the chords because you're playing so many strings at once.
But you got to do the finger thing on the bass. That's.
Yeah, or I play with a pick mostly.
What is the finger thing on the bass?
So you can play with fingers or with a pick.
Okay. Do you is it hurting your fingers when you're
when you first start
fingers?
You do get calluses.
Why is that? It's those thick heavy metal chords. You're just slapping them.
Yeah, pretty much. The same with your left hand. If you're a right hand guitarist, you'll have calluses too.
Yeah.
Just pressing down the strings on the neck of the guitar.
Okay.
Over time, you get a lot of calluses.
Okay.
Build it up. Yeah.
How hard is it to play the guitar and sing at the same time? I can't walk and chew gum.
I know, it's hard.
Yeah. How do you do
that?
How does that work?
Every day, I practice it. Well, not every day, but...
I seriously can't rub my belly and pat my head.
I know.
So it's two different things.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you just bifurcate your mind, or do you have?
No, it's not. It'd be more of trying not to think about something, trying not to think about it rather than bifurcating anything. But I think a metronome is your best bet.
Okay.
To sing the song and play it to a metronome.
Okay.
Over and over.
What is that?
Metronome's just something that you'll punch in how many beats per minute you want this song to be, 80, or faster or whatever, and then. It'll just give that to you like a robot, and it's a noise.
Okay.
It just goes over and over.
Okay, and so you try to stay true to that?
You try to always be on the click, yeah.
Got it. You
know,
so
drummers are .
The easier metronome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
a good day, yeah.
He's your rock.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
he's your rock. Hopefully, that's the goal, yeah. That's the plan.
Yeah.
So if you're having an off day, that fucks up
forget
the rest
about
of
it.
The band.
Oh, forget about it. Stay home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
no, but
call
but that,
it a night. No, yeah, yeah.
That really
that's
is
not
like
just
that, that affects the rest of the band.
That goes for
it
everything.
It goes
yeah.
for everybody, though. I mean, everybody's
yeah.
got to be on it, you know.
If I had a lot of off days, I probably just got fired, you know. That's the thing, though, is I don't think you get too many off days, you know, doing
really?
This. So, you got to have something going for you at all times. Something, some kind of a pole. Call it a pulse, the
yeah, and
beat.
What's crazy is every
so,
drummer has a different pulse, and every drummer has
yeah.
a different.
So pulse is a term of art that is specific to drummers.
No, I mean everybody has a pulse and everybody has a feel, but
okay.
drums are the loudest thing you hear, and it's or rhythmically wise.
It would be
it's what you bob your head to, in the
mm-hmm.
music. I feel
yeah.
The drummer contributes a lot of that.
Okay,
yeah.
And so the drummer's pulse is maybe most important just because he's setting down the bass.
I don't know if there's no more important than anything else. Okay. I don't know. I mean, because bass, I feel like if people are dancing, it's because of the bass player.
Got it.
Because he's doing melody and rhythm.
Got it.
So if people are moving, maybe not. I mean, these are all blank.
No, I get that. I think there's an analogy to rhythm. Yeah. Like, there's definitely something to it. I can't dance, for example.
Yeah, no.
Like, I can't dance. Yeah. Like, I grew up in a big Mexican family, and we would do these like big get-togethers, like carnitas asadas. It's like a Mexican barbecue, and then we would all get together and dance. Like, they'd all get together and start dancing, like in the driveway, kind of outside. You know, like they put the picnic tables out and the speakers and everything else. And before we knew it, people were dancing in the driveway. And I said, "Mom and Dad, won't you teach me?" He said, "Hey, you just gotta get up and feel it." I was like, "You know, that's not me. I need, you know, I want to have like a proper understanding of the theoretical framework of the movement of dance before I start, you know."
The history.
Yeah, right. And really, I'm just like an uptight kind of guy. And they're like, "No, you gotta just get up and move." And so I never learned to dance. My wife and I take lessons sometimes, but it's not really there. Yeah. You know, like, just because I'm not.
But you do jujitsu.
So that's what I wanted to relate it to. That's exactly right. Because that is another rhythmic art.
Oh, yeah.
But the understanding of rhythm in that art is inverted. So in dance, I want to understand your rhythm and I guess kind of match it, kind of syncopate, right?
Or lead too.
But kind of like be in some sort of harmony, right? Uh-huh. In jiu-jitsu or other martial arts, this is especially true in boxing. I want to understand your rhythm so I can disrupt it.
Yeah,
and fuck it
it's
up.
Sabotage. Yeah. You can see a pattern and you can pick the opposite and get in between a move or whatever. Yeah, you know, like. Yeah, right in between someone's pattern. So it's actually the same idea, though, because you're just understanding a rhythm and then you're countering it as opposed to complementing it.
So, yeah, for me, it's easier to, like, find that one moment where the gears are about to come together and just throw a wrench in it real quick than to try and, like, stay together the whole time. That's what I have trouble with, is, like,
so
staying in the rhythm.
That's how you win a fight, is you just throw a wrench in someone else's rhythm.
Yeah, the best thing you can do in a fight is you deny someone else
what they want to do.
So if you take someone that's like the best in the world.
Is that why you're reading Art of War?
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, if you take someone who's like the best in the world, they're probably the best in the world built on like a bunch of techniques that they rely on. And if you make the adjustments to deny them those tools, then they have to go to their B game. And you're like, you might not be able to beat them at their A game, but maybe you can beat them at their B game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's easier for me to like understand rhythm and disrupt it than it is to understand it and stay with it.
Yeah.
Which is why I thought
you
guys
be like a really chaotic dancer and go disrupt people while they dance.
I've seen them out there.
I've seen that.
Every dance floor you've ever been on that was crowded, there's probably been like someone who's
Someone's
just going direct against
a religious experience out there.
Yes.
A revelation. I love when that happens.
Yeah, we need you, man. Yeah, there's a role for you.
So how do you guys, but in all seriousness, what you guys do harmonizing with each other, I think is beautiful. And so that's kind of why I wanted to bring you guys in, because I really enjoyed your music. I don't really enjoy a lot of music on the live scene. Like there's a lot of just so-so bands, honestly. And we won't be having any of them on here. But I really enjoy the way you guys harmonize together. And for me as a listener, you guys have these like anthemic sort of choruses where it's like easy for me to just like join in and sing the chorus with you. And so I kind of feel like I'm onto something, you know? So I think that's what I kind of got out of your guys' music. So you're writing, you're writing the lyrics.
Yeah.
Where do you draw from?
Well, dude, honestly, like today of all days, you asked me this. I was just telling these guys on the way over here is that like I was with my music teacher today and I played that song for her, Smud.
Yeah.
And then I played it for her, and she was like, "What the hell is this song about?" And I was like, "I don't know."
No.
And what I'm realizing is that I don't know what any of these songs are about. And that if I'm going to grow as a songwriter, I have to get more personal, I think, and figure out what they're really about, because I don't know what they're about. Well, I need to go back and look at the lyrics to figure out what they're about, which I can do, but...
So you feel like you just have, like...
And there's something that they're about, but, I mean, if... I'm trying to be the best songwriter I can be, and like these people who are writing amazing songs are like, they're doing something that I want to tap into and want to learn about. So that's kind of why I say it.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I think you kind of, you know, we have clues to like, you know, how you write songs too, and he kind of patches things together sometimes. Other times there's like, you know, there's a story behind it, but, you know, it's like it changes from song to song. It's kind of cool to like hear each song evolve and how it like starts and then how it might end up is completely different.
See, but what I'm realizing is that's lazy. It's like a lazy songwriter's approach. To pass things together.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's...
But that's a... Like, I don't want to say it in a bad way.
No. I don't take it that way. But I was something I want to grow out of, you know?
It's intentionality, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to be more intentional and, like,
yeah.
This is a finished piece
yeah.
that really has an exact meaning to it? And then...
But I respect what you said. Thank you for saying that.
And then on the way over here, you mentioned that, and I was thinking, like, just because these songs don't have... just because you don't know what they mean doesn't mean they don't have meaning.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they don't have even maybe really cohesive meaning.
Right.
So, like... Good, I guess, self-reflection. Just go back.
I mean,
right.
I think,
see what they mean.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I think you can express things without being conscious of their specific meaning,
yeah.
and they can still be meaningful, right?
Right.
So when I was a child, I had this dream that I stepped out of my dad's Geo Metro, and this was when we were living in the East Coast, and I walked into like this like big Catholic church. And I remember seeing like the stained glass ceilings, you know, the stained glass on the wall. And then I was like the only person in the church. And I walked in there and I, you know, those collection trays, I put like a hardened kidney bean in the collection tray. And I remember hearing it clink, you know, and then I walked out and felt like a lot better about myself. And I woke up and that's a dream that I tell people, but I have no idea what it means. That's like a really vivid memory. You know, I mean, I think it was something, you know, I'm still waiting for God to come into my life. I'm still waiting for faith to reveal itself to me. But that was something like an experience of faith whose meaning sort of like eludes me.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
Dream.
But I have no idea what it
yeah.
meant. I have no idea what it
yeah.
meant. But
did you have that dream more than once?
No, I've had dreams like it a lot.
Mm.
I've had a lot of dreams like it. So I'm hoping the faith bug hits me because I could use it. But yeah, like, so I think that there's that can happen, right? Where you have some sort of like notion in your head and you
yeah.
kind of want to express it. And then maybe
yeah.
in the act of expressing it, you
yeah.
can like articulate it better. But it's,
right. it just goes to show like the lack of self-awareness that like, I mean, I have,
yeah.
a lot of people have where they're just like, I don't know why I feel this way.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, and I can't put it into words. I can't tell people it like, and yeah, it's just,
that
it's part of that.
I think it's one of the cool things about music and, just being a listener of music, everyone might have a different idea of what the song means. You know,
yeah.
people can draw a different understanding or meaning out of a song,
right.
out of the same song. Like all of us can have the exact, you know, completely different understanding of Smut or any other song.
Right.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of a neat thing about. Music too.
If
yeah.
someone get, if two people get two totally different things out of it, is that that's okay with you as the creator?
Oh yeah, I could care less.
Really?
I mean, Smut. Let's talk about that song though. But like, you know, it's like struggles of the, like Smut is like a struggle. You're paying the bills. You're paying the Smut bill. And it's like, you know, you wrote this song to like sort of express that like.
Right.
This is how I interpret it, at least. That like, you know, everybody has their struggles, but like. Sometimes your struggle is just paying a fucking bill, like
yeah.
an electricity bill. And it's like, that's the worst thing in your life. And it's a really bad thing, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a cool song in a way because it expresses this, like, kind of universal, like, you know, thing that everyone experiences. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's cool to be, like, in a moment and something small is such a big deal. Like, if your smut is you're going to get your power turned off or something, and then, like, you just zoom out and figure like 20 or 30 years, you'd be like, that was such a small issue on the bigot, you know? Like,
yeah.
But in that, you can, if you have a song, if you have a moment like that captured, like a song, you can go back to that moment. You can remember how
mm-hmm.
real that struggle was.
Yeah. That's good.
And then you zoom out and it's just kind of like, well, encapsulated in that melody is kind of like what that struggle was. And like, even though I can't relate to it anymore, there was that song and that song kind of re-imbibes that like, that concept. So I mean, all songs are like that, all poems and songs and stories that can kind of like
yeah.
bring back like something that was like that happened in real time for a moment, just kind of remember what that was,
you know. For me, getting married has helped take a step away from.
You should memorize some Shakespeare and recite it to your wife,
maybe.
one of the sonnets,
except she,
it's 14 lines,
except she fucking slap me. No, but, you know, yeah, getting married has kind of helped me sort of think about the smallness of the issues, because then you, for me, it's like put like my purpose front and center. It's like my purpose is to like love this woman and make great memories together and sort of create a family together. And also, you know, express myself artistically, contribute to society through my work, etc. But when you have someone like that you're really, I guess, kind of like tethered to in a way, you like the for me at least, the other issues have sort of faded into the background. It's like, well, you know, the power gets turned off. Well, we're Haley and I will work together. We'll figure it out. I lost my job. Haley and I will work together. We'll figure it out. I'm sick. We'll work together. We'll figure it out. And so that's maybe like a symbol of insecurity that I can't just get through things on my own. But I got to tell you, like, it's really helped, like, take a step back and be like, all right, like, assuming that this union is the most important thing, how do you look at everything else in new context? You're like, oh, fuck that. That's small shit. You mean to tell me my car insurance got raised $17? Take it. I'll give a shit. Take it. I don't care. You know, everything else is really small in comparison.
Insecurity, though, it's like, that's just like relating to insecurity. It's such like an important thing, like, for like art, and like, I think that like that's where a lot of art comes from too. So it's interesting to like mention insecurity.
That's true. Like doubt.
It's, I mean, it brings that back every time you know, when you sing the song that you wrote, you know, 10 years ago, it's like, wow, that was crazy. I was so insecure about that smud bill or whatever it would be. Like, it's,
What, if you have like an experience, you know, that you want to like write a song about, can you like work together? Can you like propose, like, how does that work? Has that ever happened? Are you even interested in that for all of you? Like, or is it just kind of like, all right, here are the lyrics. We're just gonna sing. Like, you
it's
know,
a lot
I mean?
Harder to write a song together with lyrics, but you can write an instrumental song together more easily.
Okay.
I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I've written a song democratically, and it's tough. But when someone brings a song, it's
well, Frank and I have written lyrics together.
We do, yeah.
It is kind of. We just don't ever sit around at a table with a piece of paper and say, "Hey, let's write some lyrics," you know.
Yeah.
Happen.
What rhymes with purple?
Well, I mean, I guess you could do it, you know, in the practice room, but
it's almost like if he wanted to write a song, it wouldn't be good for him to like try to write it into your vision. Like, just let him write that song, and we'll do his song.
No, I mean, I would love to do stuff like that. Like, I just had a friend send me some poetry, and I put it to song, lyrics, and put it to vocals, and it was nice, man, because I wasn't attached to it. Like,
you got to step back from it.
It was in my words. Yeah, I could just kind of be more free with it. I really like that experience. So yeah, I think that's a cool way to write songs. I mean, that's like, I think what Simon and Garfunkel kind of did. I could be wrong.
Really?
But that's what I assume they did, something like that. Any of those, you know, team songwriters. Like.
But in general, it's kind of hard. It's kind of like, because it's hard to like express a sentiment by committee. Right? Like.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I was like, no, this is my breakup. This is
right.
Got it. So do you ever, like, so how do you help express his song but still feel consummated as an artist? Like, how does that work?
That's a good question. It's fun to just kind of, if you just like words, like short phrases, you know, you just like, we have these like really short phrases in the world, you know, the struggle is real. You know, it's just something that you kind of say and it gains its power. You say like, the scene doesn't exist. You know, you just kind of make these bold statements and then it's like, you might not even know if it's true or has any merit, but you just put it out there and then it's in your mind for a while and you have to think about that a little bit. And I guess I don't really, you know, I'm not too concerned about, I guess I'm not really worried about how that's consummated. But
No, I mean, if it's not an issue, it's not an issue. Like,
but we, you know,
it's somewhere else, right? Like, it's,
It's really fun to play music too. I mean, that's really fun. It's a conversation.
Honestly, yeah. It's like, recently I've had this thing where, like, I'm like trying to be so grateful that people will show up and keep playing music with me. You know? And that's basically it.
For me, I joined the band. they already had a lot of songs recorded.
Right.
A lot of songs already, you know, put down. And for
Phil,
me, was,
just speak up, brother.
For me, it was fun to join the band because they already had a lot of great songs. So I didn't really have to, you know, really add a lot of initial artistic components.
Right.
It was more of, I heard the songs, and then I was able to just, you know, kind of put in what I thought would make it, would enhance the song a little bit more.
Got it.
So it was a lot of fun, a lot more fun, or it was fun for me in that respect because the songs were already laid out. Already
there was
done.
A lot of pressure in it.
A lot of pressure in that. And then I could just add on a little bit, just to, you know, in my view, help it, you know, be a little bit better. I'm hoping that I've been able to add to that. And so.
Yeah. So contribution and form over time becomes contribution and substance.
Yeah,
I get that. Like, I mean, for me, I've only had like two or three like MMA or boxing fights, but I've had like 16 years of practice. So I mean, you know, you could say, well, what are you getting out of it if you're not competing? Well, you know, the application of the art is its
yes,
own. You know,
yes,
the application
yes.
of the art is its own is
yeah.
its own reward, right? There's kind of like,
yeah.
you kind of like get lost in
yeah.
flow,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I teach the Sac State MMA club, and I've been seeking out opportunities to teach because it's made me articulate how I feel about techniques, and I've, you know, 16 years of grappling. A lot of these movements are in a place beyond thought.
Mm-hmm.
They're like deep in my neural pathways, like deeply, deeply carved neural pathways. So then you have to like try and articulate that to somebody, and you're like, okay, like now you gotta, I guess, flex your body. You're like just really down in the weeds, you know. And you start realizing that, man, this is in a place beyond thought or reason or articulation.
Subconscious.
Yeah, it's in the subconscious.
Yeah.
So you said it already. You don't really think of anything. I think you said when you're playing. What do you guys think about when you're playing? You try to like.
That's something I think about a lot.
You
know,
just try to like go into
about,
a state of no mind.
Yeah.
Are you hyper focused on what you're doing?
I think about that thought a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's like you try not to like try not to think. You know, that like your mind's going to kind of wander a little bit, but I guess you just try to focus on like just the quality of the audio. You know,
okay.
How does this sound? Is this you know you? It's kind of a it's like a hyper focus. Hopefully,
hyper focus.
You know. Hopefully, I'd like to think I'm focusing a lot on it and I'm not just kind of wherever. I'd like to think it's just all, you know, just kind of
okay.
trying to use just kind of all of your will to make exactly the sound you want.
Got it.
And then you do that yourself and then you combine that. Everyone
but
has to consider everyone else
you miss.
Too.
Got it. But
you're
definitely
yeah.
like awake in those moments. You're definitely
oh, yeah.
very,
yeah.
Yeah. The rest of you
sometimes
awake
not,
in those moments?
Sometimes
no?
not awake. I feel like we played a show recently where I was like,
just gone.
20 minutes, maybe. Where I was, I don't recall.
You were just gone.
I don't remember yet.
No.
I mean, well, Frank was saying earlier, like tambourine. It seems simple, but it's actually like a lot more. Like if you're being mindful about playing the tambourine, it's like it's a hard instrument, and it's like same thing with everything. Every instrument has its own like
yeah.
mindfulness that
right.
you need to contribute. So when I'm playing, I'm doing that. I'm like trying to, and even when I'm not, like I'm listening to everybody and trying to be. Going to happen next and
okay.
trying to remember what's happening. Yeah.
You're on it.
Yeah.
You're
well,
on
I'm,
it.
Hopefully.
yeah.
Not always.
But you're awake.
Yeah.
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 How about you?
Yeah. Go. I'm definitely focused on everything. It's kind of, for me, like an exciting experience to play music live with people.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, being up on stage and, you know, being able to create and give out this art for other people, and then also to see them engage with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really unique. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but a really fun like feeling.
Yeah.
And then I'm always focused for myself on trying to make sure that what we put out for everybody is as you know the best that we can,
mm-hmm.
as you know the highest quality that we can at that moment. And it's just really you know just a unique. Fun experience when everybody is involved in the same moment.
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys have like a do you guys have like a consensus on like who the best musician is?
the group.
Let's not go there.
It's fine.
No, it's not.
Really?
He was a classically trained guitar player.
Yeah.
In college. I mean,
we played a piece together. He played the flute on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's no best.
There's no best.
That doesn't work with us. Okay.
Read music. When you're a horn player, you read music, but that doesn't make you better. Like,
it puts a smile on my face to hear Noah play. It does. Like, you know that. You know?
Well, like, I don't know. So is everyone.
Someone is, but also, like,
another
band is a lot better.
Yeah.
Someone's a lot better than them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, that's a very real thing, you know? Like,
for sure.
And that's like,
some people have a lot of heart. Like, there's more, like, think about, like,
emotion.
It's not about skill. It's, like, about heart sometimes. And, like,
mm-hmm.
so many musicians have so much more heart than other ones.
And, like, and so these are, like,
more than skill. Like, that equals way.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's also about playing your. It's also about playing your part too.
What is that?
Playing your part in that song.
Team player, you know, just
Like everyone
playing,
has. To
yeah,
it's like don't
try to take over the song.
Right, but sometimes, like, you know, for solos, guitar solo or sax solo or drum solo or whatever, that's when you need it. You know, you take over. But otherwise, it's largely, you know, we're essentially a team, like you said. So,
I get the sense you guys mostly get along. Like, famous knock on your head.
Well, I mean, like, Frank and I have been playing music for maybe 10 years.
It's going to be close
together.
To 10 years, yeah.
Shit, that's something old people say.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into the bars when I first started playing music.
Yeah, no, I think we had an ID of someone that looked kind of like you.
Yeah,
I think we
that's
had.
Right,
we did. It looked kind of more like you than, this could be
okay.
I mean, that was old time stuff, you know.
Been nights where we don't get along, you know. Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Happened.
I'm sure. Would it be hard to play together if you didn't get along together?
I don't know.
Or is it
I
like
don't
a
think
separate
it would happen?
Thing.
I don't think it would happen. I mean, at this stage,
I mean,
in my life, if
aside
we didn't
from
get along,
YouTube being
yeah.
friends. But I mean, like, if you, well, I don't know, you get hit by a bus or something, and you got to find a new Frank, right? But the new Frank is a jerk.
Is a jerk.
Yeah, the new Frank is a jerk.
Then
but
I
you
probably
got,
wouldn't
but,
hang out with him.
No, but
yeah.
you get along musically.
Depends how good
does
that drummer is.
Does that work or no?
I don't think so.
Maybe
no.
if we turn the pit, maybe if we were making like a lot of money doing this, you know? I guess that's how people
I
think
what motivates you. Yeah, I guess
if,
so, yeah.
if that, that's why people
yeah.
play music with people they don't like very much. There's something else they're getting out of it, and then they're just willing to compartmentalize
yeah, then they're professionals.
That.
We're not
I think
really
you're
pros,
a pro
no.
at that point, and it's just like
friends.
Someone else
band.
Is a,
yeah.
Got it. You were talking earlier about the warmth in analog recording, and I wanted to explore that a little bit.
Oh God!
Because you know my favorite album is Meatloaf's "Bat Out of Hell."
I see that?
Yeah.
I don't
vinyl,
know how that was recorded.
On the vinyl.
Look up.
That fucking album, man. Like it's like.
I don't know that album.
It's like theatrical.
Oh,
it's about this like womanizer,
yeah.
like a bat out of hell. I'll be gone when the morning comes. That's the line. It's like a bat out of hell. I'll be come when the morning comes. And then there's this other song. It's like, two out of three ain't bad. It says,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want you, I need you, but there's no way I'm ever going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling this to him. He's like, hey, but two out of three ain't bad. It's actually a really brutal album. But then by the end of the, it's really rough. But that's why he's just like a dog, right? He's just out there doing his thing. But then by the end of the soundtrack, by the end of the album, you know, he's kind of like going back and reflecting on his own life story. And he's talking about how he like poured all his heart into this one relationship and she left him high and dry. And so he's just like, he's over it, you know?
Is that the last song?
That's the last song, yeah. And then so like at the end, you're just like, you feel really sorry for him because of the emptiness of his existence, you know?
He's human after all.
See, but he's being honest.
He's human after
all. Yeah,
yeah.
It's really rough because like
sounds
the first.
Very honest.
Yeah, because like the first. Like 90% of the album is like you're just like, man, fuck this guy, you know what I mean?
Really?
And but it's I recommend this album to anybody because it's really like theatrical, like it almost sounds like Grease or something. It's kind of like there's like an ensemble behind it the whole time, you know what I mean? And I kept playing it over and over because the songs were just so catchy and so fun, like da 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 da, and I'd like that. And then after a while, I started listening. To the word, it was like it was long ago and it was far away and it was so much better than it is today. It was long ago, it was far away and it was so much better than it is today. It's really tragic. You know, and so like that album as like a complete piece of art takes you through this like narrative structure that's fucking really brutal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? it's actually
see, like everybody has their album.
Yeah, I want to talk about yours.
Everybody has their no. It's cool just to hear people talk about it.
Yeah,
because they're like so passionate about it.
Yeah, that album, Meatloaf's "Bat Out of Hell," is the fifth greatest selling piece of music of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Number six is I got really into this piece of music, so I Wikipedia'd it and everything.
Yeah.
Number six is Alanis Morissette's "Jagged Little Pill."
Yeah.
Dude,
she wrote some good songs.
She wrote some good songs,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And then number one is "Thriller."
Yeah.
And then who has the most in the top 20 of all time?
Is it Eagles? I'm gonna say Garth Brooks. Too Short?
The most what?
The most albums in the top 20 of all time.
Is it Garth Brooks,
it's
Too
the
Short?
Who.
The Who.
Oh, okay.
The Who.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the Beatles or Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The
so,
Who's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know, right?
Who's next? That album is so freaking good.
Yeah. So, I don't know, favorite albums, you guys, or like musical inspirations?
I'll go first. I would say it's Desire by Bob Dylan. It's probably like my all-time favorite.
Okay. What about it?
Just like just his lyrics. Like, have you heard it? Maybe not. It's
no,
like not one of the super popular ones. Yeah, but it's really good. He's got a full band behind him, and he's got a female vocalist singing with him, and he's just singing about desire. Sounds like the whole time, just like wanderlust almost.
Oh shit! Okay.
Just the fidelity of it and like how it sounds. And
okay.
It's like kind of southwestern too. It's got like a New Mexico Santa
like folksy
Fe
type of
yeah like a southwest vibe too.
Okay.
Yeah. Wanna go, Frank?
I'm Blind Melon. Their
Blind
self-titled
Melon.
Album.
Okay.
You know the No Rain song. Everyone knows the No Rain song. All I can say is my life is very plain.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like a lot of records that's the weakest song on the record. It's still a good song, but that's, you know, a really good album. The popular song should be the weakest one on the record. It's the Blind Melon self-titled, and like, it's really, really good. It's like, there's not really any licks of modern rock in it. It's like 92 probably,
okay.
93. And it's like, I mean, it could be the last like real rock and roll record. You know, like, it could be the last one. 92, Blind Melon, Shannon, I forget his name, but you know, he died not long after that record came out. I think he made one more called Soup, but that record plays all the way through, just seamlessly. The recording of it isn't overdone. It's a lot of there's some folk sound on it. There's a lot of mandolin on it, and like, I'd implore anyone to listen to that one all the way through. It's about an hour long. Blind Melon, yeah.
Very cool.
Tip top.
No?
Tip top.
I can't name, I can't name like a perfect album. They're out there.
That's it. Just something, just musical influences. Or.
And it changes too, right? Like, just right
it changes
now,
over
like,
time. I got really into the Eagles. I got really into the Eels.
The Eagles?
The Eels.
The Eels.
Oh, the Eels.
There you go.
Yeah, they had like that dark, spooky, like kind of like sound.
Yeah,
you know that. Like,
are you
that
still into that band as much as you?
I love them, still do.
Still are.
But it's definitely like it's definitely waxed and waned over the
years. Yeah, it's time and place.
They were
probably
putting a lot of their stuff on a tape. That sound.
Yeah,
that's probably a
you
lot
know,
of tape.
Yeah.
The Eels. I remember the one. I've listened to some of them, but I remember the one popular song they had, "Sputter Out."
Before I sputter out.
Yeah, I remember.
It's
that
like
track.
That low fidelity type of like grainy.
Exactly.
God, it was beautiful. You know what I mean? Yeah, I still have them in my car actually. Like, they're one of the, if we go out into the mountains for a hike or whatever, when we lose reception, we put on the Eels.
Nice.
Yeah, Phil.
Sure. I don't think I have a favorite album, but I'll throw a couple out that I really like. Bob Dylan's "Free Will" and Bob Dylan, and the Beatles' "Rubber Soul." It's probably my favorite Beatles album.
Rubber Soul.
Yeah.
What song is
1965. Six. In My Life.
Okay.
That's probably one of my favorite Beatles songs. It's on that record.
Drive My Car.
Drive My Car, yeah, it's on there. Yeah, it's a really good record. And then one that I listen to pretty much like constantly is Creedence Clearwater Revival. It's yeah. not really one of their albums, more of one of their like greatest hits albums, but I put that on, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, Creedence, let me tell you, like that.
You like the classic rock, like classic. Yeah, those are all old.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I grew up on.
Yeah.
Like if I, you know, go a little bit further, when I was in high school and college, I was really into punk rock. Rancid.
Yeah, I have a hard time visualizing that.
Yeah,
we went to SoCal and played a show at his home in Riverside. You would start to visualize.
Yeah,
so it comes back.
It's so alive. Yeah.
I was in a couple of punk bands growing up, and but like Rancid and NoFX were some of my favorite bands still to this day. I'll listen to them all the time, especially Rancid.
Rancid, okay.
Yeah, Tim Armstrong.
That's where your heart
really,
is.
And I think it goes with like this.
Because you play like that too.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like
what does that mean?
Punk rock bass player.
Yeah, the bass player from Rancid.
You're like more
Matt
aggressive.
Freeman.
He's the pick.
Yeah,
he's
the
pick.
Pick's kind of a punk rock theme, right?
I guess so.
I was kind of thought that.
But Tim Armstrong from Rancid,
yeah.
the singer and main songwriter, like he was very influenced by The Clash.
Okay.
Wear like a Grateful Dead shirt to a concert. Someone is gonna talk to you about the Grateful Dead, and if you don't know about them, you're fucked.
No, they're still doing
their thing.
Sorry,
for sure.
Yeah. This.
Yeah,
there's like I'm sure there's like major subdivisions of the Grateful Dead, you know, within people that are into this era, this style, this that. Like that's a that's like a mega mega mega.
People raise their families on it, like
yeah,
raise
right.
children on
yeah,
the
entire
my old boss.
Yeah,
my old boss John Casey was like he. We're working in the Majority Leader Tony Atkins' office, and so we're in the historic part of the Capitol. And so when you work in the historic part of the Capitol, you get the two ceilings, you get like the high ceilings. And they'll bring in the catalog of all the art in the state archives and be like, well, you can pick your choice. And so he asked that they not bring in anything for his office.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just like brought in like these two skeletons dropping acid. And it was like 4 feet by 6 feet, and he like hung that up on his own. And I was like, this is like Grateful Dead poster, you know, like in the rest of the decor was like 1849.
Wow.
You know, but he felt very strongly about it.
Yeah.
So this what you just said made me think of something else completely different.
Yeah.
You said the historical part of
the Capitol.
The Capitol.
Yeah.
So if we practice right by the Capitol. Like
yeah.
4 blocks away, and so if I. If
you
I
should try and get under the dome.
If I could walk from my house and go and pay like $2 or $3 to walk up a flight of stairs and go up to the dome.
Yeah. You should try and go.
Where you can, they haven't opened it, but they should open that dome.
Yeah.
And then you can go up there and you can look around the city. Put a security guard down at the front. They already got the infrastructure there. But just open that up to the public. Walk up the stairs so they can see the dome, see Sacramento.
Oh, you mean the very top? Yeah,
very
they
top.
They don't they tend not to let folks in there because
why?
I've never been to the outside. I've been to the inside of the rotunda.
They should.
It's not
up to code.
They
yeah,
should.
To code.
They should make it up to code, and
they
should. If they're gonna do all this other stuff
yeah.
in Sacramento, why not do that? That should be the first thing they do.
They should make it up to. I agree with you. They should make it up to code. I agree with that.
I'd pay $3 to go up there. You know.
Not 4.
I don't know.
You got 12.
But you,
it's
yeah.
50 to go to the top of the Empire State.
Yeah, but you go back.
Is it really?
You go back.
Yeah.
Really
50?
It's a lot.
Damn,
you can fucking keep it. Shit. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
World Trade is
even
more,
I think.
People would go over and over. I'd go twice
a
week. I live 4 blocks away.
Yeah, it'd be nice
yeah.
to just go up there and reflect.
Yeah.
I've been up there a couple times and it is nice.
Yeah.
Except it's so white that you kind of like...
Well, okay. Fix it up. Do your thing.
Yeah, do what you
yeah,
need to
open
do.
It
it's,
up.
It's gorgeous.
I bet.
It is gorgeous up there. I get the feeling that the folks who work there like to have it to themselves, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I really do get that sense.
Sure.
You know, there's this really gorgeous... This is one thing that... Greg Campbell, if you're listening, I'm still upset about this. There's this really gorgeous statue of the queen who paid for the settlement or for the exploration of California. Kind of like bequeathing like her like
yeah.
pawning her jewels to pay for the settle you know for, to pay for the exploration of California.
Yeah. Did she
and
give
it,
those right to John Sutter?
I'm not sure how it works,
yeah.
but the statue's down under the dome, and there's this like rotunda above it. There's this balcony above it, and the statue has a crown. The crown has fingers, and she's outstretching her arms. You know, so all those the end of those extremities on the statue is really delicate, right?
Yeah,
it's a 300 year old statue. The last night of session, the staffers like to throw coins at it and see if they can make it into the crown. And every year, these assholes fucking chip off a fingernail, the top of a hand. You know,
really?
They chip off. Yeah, because they're throwing they're fucking throwing coins at it. You know,
wow.
And it's
attack on the Capitol.
It's the most fucking
assault,
yeah. Yeah, it's the most. It's fine art. It's the oldest piece of art that we have. It's the most precious thing that we have as a state.
Wow.
And the fucking these asshole staffers throw coins into it, and every year a small little portion of it chips off. And you know what I said to Greg Campbell?
It's like
who was
American.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the slow decay, right? It's a slow degradation by the co-opting of the political class who think that this fucking institution is for them. You know, I just want everyone from the Capitol who's listening. I want everyone from the Capitol who's listening to know this. I saw a lot of things in the Capitol that I'm not okay with, but I've kept my mouth shut because it's not really my role.
Why?
No, because I think that place does fundamentally more good than bad. Like I went there.
Okay.
I went there to work on issues that I believed on, and I was able to do that. You know, so I don't want to interrupt that process. But the one thing that really irks me is the folks throwing coins onto that statue. It's a 300-year-old piece of art, and there's no better symbol for the fucking co-opting of public resources by the political class than every year the fucking degradation of that statue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I hope folks are listening. I might pitch this to the B or something. But now that I'm not there anymore, I look back and I'm just like, yeah, you guys are fucking assholes. Who would throw art? Who would throw coins at a fucking... If you went to the Louvre and threw a fucking quarter at the Mona Lisa, people would be like, you're a fucking asshole. Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You got a lockdown case there, yeah.
Fucking crazy, right?
It's a lockdown. It's a good narrative, too. You said you don't, because it's the people, political class. Like,
yeah.
You can do that to that. Like, that's a great narrative, you know?
I hope so. But I tried to talk to Greg.
It's a great piece.
I tried to talk to Greg about it, and he was like, Greg Campbell was the Speaker's chief of staff for the longest time. He's like, why are you ruffling feathers? I'm like, because it's fine art. Like,
it's
and he's like,
art.
And
yeah,
he was like, and he was like, oh, it means that much to you, huh? I guess you're... He said, oh, you have trouble getting along with people. I'm like, yeah, I have trouble getting along with people. You assholes are throwing fucking quarters at art. Yeah, I have trouble getting along with people. You fucking assholes are destroying art. You fucking hooligans.
Yeah.
If you graffitied on the outside of the Capitol, you'd be put in jail.
Well, why is it not just in a square building? Like, we can get all this done in a square building. It looks nice for a reason. It's supposed to represent something. Why are you defiling it? You know? Like,
yeah, it's absolutely true.
Yeah. Like, you can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was a go along to get along kind of guy, but actually he accomplished more in that realm than I ever will. So I should actually be learning lessons from him. But on this point, I shall not lay down. Like, throw coins at art. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think you took a good. I think that's a good stand.
Yeah, well,
that is not okay. Yeah, that's cool.
What do you guys listen to?
I know.
Fun?
I'm sorry, but I do know exactly what you were talking about, and I noticed it the last time I was there. I never really, really, really looked at the front of the Capitol.
Yeah.
And like I did know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever appreciated it till you ran in that that marathon.
Okay.
We were hanging out there and
just
that, yeah.
A portion of it.
You went through the finish line though.
Partial.
So that's
yeah.
It's gorgeous.
It's cool, yeah.
What's really beautiful is the state courts building in front. It says the two buildings facing each other. One of them says, "Bring me men to match my mountains." And it's kind of Eureka exclaiming that. And the other one says, "Into the highlands of my mind, let me go." And it's sort of like, and the state courts building. If you look at the Tower Bridge, if you look at the state courts building, is on your left hand side. When you go in, there's like this like beautiful mural that's all of the society's warriors over time. There's like the Egyptian warriors, there's like the Roman warriors, there's like the Americans in World War II. It's super beautiful. So, all right, what do you guys listen to for fun? Hip hop, pop.
Fun.
Do you stay in like the rock genre because you play rock? How does that work?
I feel like in my daily life, I use music as it depends on like what I'm doing. So,
okay.
Like, if I go for a run or go work out, there'd be a certain type of music. And then if I want to go to sleep, there'd be a certain type of music. And if I'm doing dishes or doing work around the house, there'd be a certain type of music.
No, you feel the same way?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, like, you know, you're at home with either your wife or your girlfriend, and you put on music to make dinner, too.
Is it wife or girlfriend?
Is it wife? If you're I'm not, a girlfriend.
If you're not,
I'm a girlfriend. She's like my wife.
Too.
You know, you go
but
down.
I didn't mean it like that. I mean, like,
you pour a glass of wine.
He's thinking wife.
Barry Manilow comes on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's it's romantic. I mean, it sounds so cheesy when you say it, but
yeah.
Like I have this
no,
album.
Moods, you know, music is helps.
What's the album?
What's on the album?
What's on the album?
It's this album by it's a piano. It's piano music. No one knows it, but it's called Gems by Errol Garner, and it's like my favorite album. It's so good, and it's like really nice. It's just this really pretty music.
Gems.
And you only play it at night when you're making dinner.
Yeah.
Drinking wine.
Yeah.
Exactly
right, yeah.
Like you said. Like it's.
It would feel wrong to put that on and go to the gym.
Can't run to it.
Right.
Yeah. You'll
can't
feel like,
yeah.
You'll feel weak if you run to
yeah.
that song.
And everybody
that
knows
music.
This, you know, it's just like.
Yeah.
That's what music does. It just enhances the experience.
How about you?
Mm-hmm. I like to listen to college radio.
College
like,
radio?
Well, here would be UC Davis.
Okay. Just because
oh,
I can keep
man.
Up with like
I just
like
kids
Chico.
Are listening too.
Or?
I
like
the
Chico
one.
Yeah,
when I go down to Berkeley,
yeah.
I like to listen to the Berkeley one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
just
like
the kids. Are
yeah,
I just
yeah.
like well, it's yeah, it's the kids. There's actually a lot of like senior citizens that are DJs on those stations. You know? When you say college
<It's>
radio, yeah,
it's pretty spontaneous.
It's very spontaneous, and I like that. I like that it's curated. It's spontaneous. It's like. You just can't, you're not like, it's the last, you know, that's the last real radio.
Last
it's college
out.
Radio. It's
got
the last
it,
holdout.
Where it's like a community institution,
like,
local
yeah,
people.
I've always
is
like.
Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
and I've always liked the romance of analog waves. The fact that they're just, you know, it's not a podcast. It's going through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you drive away from Davis, it fades out. You can't hear it anymore.
So
you have to find the next college station in that town.
Got it.
So
got
it's regional. It's people invested in that area, and like, I don't know, you'd have to really want to do something in audio to be a college radio DJ. You know, you feel like these people are like, they're kind of,
they're about that
just
life.
By being there,
about that.
Just for doing it.
Yeah.
Like they've proved
yeah.
that they care about it. And if
it's
someone
like
cares about it,
they have,
I want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
I want to know what
they
have
playlist
to say.
That they want
to
share. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I got a playlist.
playlist.
You know?
Yeah.
I got a playlist.
You know, it's funny. It's like, I used to burn CDs where it's
yes.
like, oh, this is like Gebron's
yes.
like
yes.
this
me
is
too.
Gebron's like summer of 2015 CD.
Yes.
Like,
that's that
absolutely.
Movie High Fidelity. You ever seen that movie?
Oh yeah.
We must be the same
that?
Age.
That's
yeah.
such a good
we must
movie.
Be around
about,
the same age.
We assume we're all about 30.
Yeah. Going up. Yeah.
That's okay.
Going up, yeah.
You look like the youngest one here.
I probably act like it, yeah. Actually, someone at work told me that today. They're like, you know, you kind of act like a, and I don't really agree with this at all. Like, you kind of act like
yeah,
a really little kid in a man's, like, hair, yeah. So.
That's okay.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I actually do believe in the power of immaturity a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mean being, like, irresponsible or that, but just sort of, like, kind of we're saying about that, like, fade out with issues in life when you kind of, like, you're going to zoom out of those situations and just kind of be like, oh, man, these things don't matter that much, you know?
Yeah.
You pick a few things that really matter.
Someone want to get that phone?
Pick a few things that really, really matter and
focus on that. And the rest is just kind of...
I don't know if that's my phone. That's not my phone.
Is
it
my phone? Oh, my
yeah,
mind.
It's
do
you
have fuck.
The other people.
That is me. I set an alarm.
Call mom.
It says call mom.
This is call mom.
It says call mom.
Lisa.
Which,
Lisa.
Yeah,
call my mom. I gotta call my mom.
You gotta call your mama.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Christ.
That's okay.
Soon.
What
do you mean Jesus Christ?
That's respectable. That's respectable.
What the hell are you talking about? Oh, you're a fucking mom.
Where can folks catch you with that?
Luna's Cafe on June 22nd.
Okay.
Wait, 22nd or 3rd? It's one of those two dates. Is it a
yeah,
Friday or Saturday?
We'll flash
it.
We'll
I said let's do
23rd
and then you said let's do 22nd. Right, Bill? Me? Yeah. Yeah, June 22nd.
I think we should set it now. I mean, that's...
I think we already.
So if you're listening, it's one of those two dates. If you show up on the 22nd and we're not there, we'll get you something. And let us know you heard this podcast.
I'm sure we'll be playing okay. Tell them Jabron sent you.
Jabron sent us, yeah.
Tell them Jabron sent
you. June is the 22nd is a Friday. That'll probably be the day. Let's just say June 22nd.
It might be the 23rd, though.
Yeah.
Like us on Facebook, right?
Okay.
And then follow us there, and then we'll post up any shows that we have coming up.
Okay. What's next for you guys as a band?
Oh, we're going to release an EP soon.
What's an EP mean? What
does that mean? It's like a set of songs.
An extended play.
Okay.
It's shorter than a full length album.
Yeah.
Got it.
So like
got
four or five, six songs.
What are you guys going to stream that throughout CDs?
Yeah,
just stream it?
Both. We'll do probably the CDs.
FontaineClassic.com.
It's fun.
Good to sell.
Sling
them. Sling them.
Check out the FontaineClassic.com. It's called www.fontaineclassic.com.
Very cool.
And we're very inclusive, you know, so if you want to join the band, you can come play with us, you know?
Yeah, come
play with us. We play with a lot of people, so if anybody hears this and they're musicians and they like it and they want to come play, it'd be awesome.
Very cool, very cool. Well, all right. Hey, where can folks find you guys online? FontaineClassic.com.
Yeah,
do you guys have an Instagram, Twitter?
Yeah, TheFontaineClassic.com.
TheFontaineClassic.com. All right, final thoughts.
Thank you.
Final thoughts. Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for doing
it. It was fun for playing. It's an honor to be the first live takeaway music show. Maybe you'll do more.
I think it was cool. I think it happened. It was all fun. I really enjoyed the whole process of it in terms of artistic creation. So, yeah.
Thanks for taking video of us. That was cool.
Yeah. Yes. I'm excited to show it. So, all right.
Come check out a show. We always have a good time.
Very cool. All right, guys, this is episode 19.